Shocker, how you doing?
Good, good, good. Unlike yesterday, I feel the NHL finally got one right today, I would say.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the suspension.
He's got sensitivity training to do too, right? You saw that part as well?
Yeah, I'd love to know what that means, Ryan. What sensitivity training actually – does it mean he's going to go and talk to some people in the community? Then, you know what? I'm all for it. If it's just sit in a classroom and have someone tell you you shouldn't use that word, I'm not sure that's as beneficial. But that's
yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the curriculum is, whatever. But look, I mean, the NHL – like they had to act on this. They couldn't do nothing. They've been strong partners with, you know, whether it's You Can Play or, I mean, you know, Patrick Burke was a founder of that. Like the NHL has strong ties and has sent a message that they're, you know, they're with this community. So when something like this happens, they need to send the message that the worm is kind of turned. That kind of stuff, what goes on the field of play, you're not invincible out there in terms of what you can say. And so I think they did the right thing here. A fine, a suspension, and the sensitivity training, that's about all they can do. And I like the fact that the Blackhawks got ahead of it this morning and you know, said they didn't condone it, and that Shaw got ahead of it as well. So I think it was handled well by everybody after the fact. But the simple fact is that it was Andrew Shaw irate and panicking because it was an absolutely boneheaded play at a critical moment in the game, left no choice for the referee other than to call that penalty. He two-handed the defenseman into the net in the final couple minutes of a one-goal game. It was a ridiculously stupid play, and I think people should probably be focusing when it comes to the game on how stupid that penalty was and then the ridiculous actions that followed. It was not a good night for him.
No, not at all. And the Chicago Blackhawks, right now, they just can't beat Brian Elliott.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I felt like they were. I mean, they'd scored the goal. It looked like, felt like they were at least going to have a chance at the end to try and you know, find that extra goal. And they had a little bit of momentum, and then just a really stupid play. So, yeah, I mean, they need to find a way to beat this goaltender for sure. But they can't be shooting themselves in the foot like that either. I mean, the margin between wins and losses in the playoffs and giving yourself a chance to come back or not, it's very, very thin. And you cannot have guys being selfish and taking matters into their own hands like that and just being silly out there.
The Anaheim Ducks taking a page out of the Detroit Red Wings playbook. We will start a goalie. He'll lose the first two games. We'll switch a goalie, and then he'll get a 3-0 shutout win in game three.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, they needed something, right? So I guess that's one of those things that you can – one of those things you can change. You can't fire the coach mid-playoff series. So, yeah, no, they make a change and it sparks them. Obviously, it's a road team series for whatever reason so far. And so the Ducks pull themselves back in. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I still, you know, I picked Nashville to upset in that series. I still like their lineup. I still like their roster. I didn't think it was going to be a short series. But I'm still staying with Nashville in this one.
Shocker, I want to get to something because I know, if I'm not mistaken, your boy enters Bantam hockey this year, correct?
Yeah, no, he was in Bantam this year and is now going into his second year Bantam.
Okay, so now, so the new rules that came down today in hockey Edmonton anyway is AAA,
yep.
AA, and now A and B, which used to be 1 and 2. Man, they change the tiers all the time. Anyway, so the top four tiers will have body contact. After that, it'll be community leagues and no contact. And my only question was, like, your son played this year as a first year, right? And
there was
body contact for everybody. And
and
I think if he wanted to move up, I don't know what level he played, but if he, let's hypothetically say, he was playing in the highest level of community and couldn't play body contact, that might hurt him if he wanted to go up the next year. Do you think they will at least instruct how to have body contact at that level? If they do that, I'm all for it. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think you make a good point. Like, for some of these kids that are right on the line between playing in those rep leagues and playing in the community league, you don't want to hamstring them by, in their first year Bantam, say they're just right on the cut line, and then they play a whole year not learning how to do it, not getting used to it, and they're going to have to be pretty good the next year for a coach to take them on one of those teams, knowing that they have zero experience hitting. So you're kind of putting some kids a little bit behind the eight ball, those kids that are right on the bubble between the community league and the rep league, no question. But I think they should teach it still. I think they should instruct it so that kids maybe understand and have a little bit of an idea and a little bit of background in it heading in to the next round or the next year. But I don't know. I mean, I have to say, like my son played in a mid-tier, lower tier, and it was his first year Bantam, and man, the size discrepancy in some of these games is crazy. And I just remember thinking he hadn't played for a year, so he was a year and a half off the ice. So, you know, handling the puck with his head down and, you know, getting himself back into the swing of things while there's all this hitting going on around him. And I remember feeling pretty nervous as a parent. So there's kind of two sides of this for me. There's the one, you know, the dad, where I'm sort of, part of me is feeling a little bit relieved that he's going to play in a league, likely play in a league next year where there isn't body contact because you don't worry as much. And then there's the part of me that will also feel for those kids who are right on the bubble, who want to try and push through the next level, and this definitely will hurt their chances.
Now, what does your son say? Did he like body contact?
He was sour.
Yes.
He was really sour, yeah. And he sort of got word of it yesterday a little bit. But, I mean, that's kids, right? Like, he was all fired up to get into hitting. And, you know, the kids, they make a big deal of that, and they want to get going with that. And he did fine with it. I mean, he's a decent-sized kid, and he handled himself well. And so I think he was looking forward to challenging himself a little bit this year. So, yeah. And I think, I mean, that's a natural reaction. I think a lot of the ones who have done it before will probably feel that way. But look, the grown-ups got to do what they feel is best for the kids, and I think they would probably rather have some kids behind the eight ball a little bit as far as making the jump into a league where there is hitting when they haven't hit before. I think they would rather put those kids a little bit behind the eight ball than put a large number of kids at risk that are playing in leagues where, I mean, it's for fun, and it's not nearly as competitive, and I certainly understand that. And given my son is one of the ones that'll probably be in that league, as a dad, I sort of feel like, you just sit there with a certain amount of trepidation watching your kid, you know, as a defenseman skating around behind the net with his head down, handling the puck, and won't need to worry about that the same way this year.
So your son's upset, and probably because he feels more confident in body contact after having played
for sure.
It for a year, right? And so that will be the balancing act. Having watched, you know, you played at a high level, so you watch the level that your son played at. Will the game for those kids be better without body contact?
I think it'll be more fun for more of them. What I saw this year was, you know, there's maybe two or three kids on the team that really love the body contact, and that's what they focus on, and they really thrive in that. Then the rest of them sort of learn to survive it, but they're a little bit tentative, especially when they're playing against a bigger team. They're a little bit tentative, and you get some kids that are, you know, maybe not as anxious to handle the puck as much, not as anxious to make plays with it, just looking to get rid of it, especially if there's any traffic around them at all. So you don't get kids handling pucks in traffic a lot. They're either chipping it and bracing themselves. I think from a skill standpoint, it'll be fine for them. They'll probably have the puck on their stick more. You know, they're not learning an extremely important facet of the game, but it's kind of up to minor hockey to figure out where the line between protecting them and developing them is. And, it's going to have an impact on the type of players we're producing at those levels, no question about it. But I think in a lot of cases, the higher-end kids have probably already risen into those rep systems already and are probably playing on those teams already. And will the odd kid get left behind who maybe would have been a bloomer at 15 or 14? Sure. But I think their idea is to protect more of them by taking the hitting out, just not having so many kids playing at risk.
Ryan Hrshak from TSN joined us. It's a heated debate. We have lots of different opinions on it on the text message. So we'll open up the phone lines from parents on this one. And You know, and I'm not surprised that your son, because, you know, the kids are the ones still playing the game. And I think that's one thing we always have to remember all the time. You don't want to be helicopter parents in sports. It's the kids are playing the game. And because a lot of people say, hey, there is no contact leagues available for kids to play in now. Why are they expanding it to make it basically the majority who plays no contact?
Yeah,
I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, listen, like just from a mid-tier Bantam team, I mean, there were a number of concussions. The team that my son played on was part of a concussion study, you know, and there were a number of them. And, you know, I another person very close to our family at 12, 13 years old is just, you know, been told he's not able to play anymore because too many concussions at a young age. So I think overall we've become much more aware as a parental group and as a hockey group about concussions and the effects of them. And as we're sort of having this realization over a, you know, a period of time, it kind of, you have to recalibrate your logic on a bunch of things. And when you have this bit of an awakening, you do recalibrate your logic a little. And so here you are in, you know, Bantam tier 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, where mostly it's kids who are just playing the game to get exercise and have fun because they've grown up playing it, who don't necessarily have the same opportunities for, you know, the rep teams or for potential scholarships that come in the next 3 or 4 years, those sorts of things, that just want to play the game for fun. And I think the game does lose a lot of players when you get into that hitting range. So I don't know, man, lad. I think things have just changed a lot. Our thought process on head injuries, brain injuries have changed a lot. And so this is the hockey world kind of recalibrating a little bit.
Shagar, one last one for you quickly. Kings Sharks tonight.
Yes,
was it a one game aberration? The Kings, like, they had three shots in the third period, right? And found a way to win that game. Or is the curse or the reputation of the Sharks have you second guessing what happens in that series now?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm really interested to watch this game tonight because, as I said on the show yesterday, I think we're going to learn something about the San Jose Sharks tonight. If this is the same group with the same heartbeat, then they'll play nervous and let LA back into this series. If they're a different group with a different heartbeat and a little bit more mental toughness and jam than the previous incarnations of the team that were obviously gave up big leads, we'll see if they're different tonight. I kind of don't really know the answer. And I think I picked Kings to win this series, so I'm not going to back off of that now. But I am an interested observer as someone who many years covered that team in the playoffs, Thornton, Marleau, Pavelski, all those guys, and had to ask them question after question about disappointment. So I'll be very interested to watch it tonight.
Shagar, have yourself a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, buddy. Take care.